This weekend, the Des Moines Symphony is presenting their last concert of their season called Bernstein's West Side Story. I'm Jacqueline Hallbloom for the Iowa Art Showcase, and in to tell us about this concert is the Des Moines Symphony's music director and conductor, Maestro Joseph Junta. And you're continuing your theme of celebrating Bernstein's life and polishing off the season with one of his most famous works.
We are. How could we ever do a salute to the Bernstein Centennial without playing the symphonic dances from West Side Story? And that's exactly how our program begins on the second half.
Tell us about how your show opens with this wonderful Rossini overture.
I love all the operas of Rossini, and especially the overtures, of course, which I've conducted many times. But, you know, Rossini was a genius, and I love to talk about that meeting that he had with Beethoven in Vienna, where Beethoven was quoted as saying, "Rossini's music makes people laugh, and my music makes people cry." And I love that quote by Beethoven. He thought that Rossini should only create comic operas, and of course that's the most appealing of all of his operas and continues to be appealing today. He's just such a genius. You know, he's considered the creator of the bel canto style of singing, that more florid Italian style of singing, and his music is just so full of quick rhythms and humor and animation, and it's almost, of course, like cartoon music, and some of his music was actually used in cartoons in Hollywood. So it continues to be appealing and exciting for us to play, very challenging. And this was in particular an interesting opera, by the way, the Italian and Algiers opera. He was only 21 years old, Jacqueline, when he wrote it, and it only took him 18 days to compose. Now, can you imagine that? That's as fast as Mozart composed some things. So the overture is absolutely splendid. It's a great way to start a program. It begins with these really mysterious pizzicatos that are full of angst and uneasiness, sort of like taking one step on thin ice and not sure when it's going to crack. And then all of a sudden, there's this tutti fortissimo chord that comes in with a full orchestra, and very reminiscent of Haydn's Surprise Symphony. There's a beautiful oboe solo in the introduction, and then, of course, the allegro starts, and we're off in full bloom with this fast and virtuosic and humorous music. So it's an exciting way to start a program, and always look forward to conducting a Rossini overture, in this case, the Rossini Italian in Algiers overture.
And tell us about your guest violinist.
Philip Quint is one of the renowned violinists playing on the circuit today. He's played in Berlin and Vienna and Paris and, of course, every major orchestra in this country. And he was in Des Moines many years ago when he participated in a program called Rewind that was conducted by Paul Haas. And I remember hearing him then and speaking to him and thinking this young man's going to have a really wonderful career ahead of him, and certainly he has done that. He's a world-class musician, Jacqueline, and as I said, he's played with virtually every great orchestra in the world, including the Los Angeles and Chicago orchestras, and look forward to working with him very much.
And you've selected an unusual concerto for him to play.
We have. It's not a concerto that you would, you know, it's not Tchaikovsky, Mendelssohn, Brahms, or Beethoven. Those are the top four that usually violinists request to play. This one's by Eric Korngold, who was actually born in Brno, which is currently the Czech Republic. He was born in 1897 and was raised in Vienna. And I mean, just to give you an idea of the talent of this young man, when Mahler heard him play a short piano piece Korngold was only nine, Mahler raved about him and called him a genius. So he had certainly as much talent as Mozart or some of the other, Mendelssohn, some of the other child prodigies that came before him. But Korngold, you know, growing up in Central Europe as being Jewish was not easy. And as he became a young man, there was, of course, this growing anti-Semite feeling that was around him. And so he wound up immigrating to Hollywood. Now, he had always been interested in film music, but once he got in Hollywood, he really sort of immersed himself in writing great film music, and actually was so good at it that he won two Academy Awards. But throughout all those years of writing this great film music, he also wrote concert music, and he finally gave in to the great violin virtuoso of the day, Yasha Heifetz, maybe the greatest violinist ever to live. He encouraged him to write a violin concerto, and this was born, the Korngold Violin Concerto. It's really a beautiful three-movement work. It's going to remind the listeners of beautiful Hollywood music, where each theme sort of represents a character. It moves so beautifully from one theme to another, and the orchestration is exquisite. Almost sounds like a combination of French and American orchestration, but it's a great piece of music, and one that I always look forward to conducting. And Philip Quint will play it as well as anyone that has ever played it.
We briefly talked about the symphonic dances, so tell us a little bit more about this work.
Well, certainly Bernstein became a household name around the world once the score to West Side Story was written. It's certainly one of the best musical scores ever written. It was written in 1957, so many years later, it's still considered that. It was really groundbreaking in many ways because LB used certain Latin rhythms and harmonies along with the traditional compositional techniques of the day that he had learned from Copland and Piston and Harris and so on. So, you know, that made it groundbreaking as it was. And of course, the techniques that he used to assign themes to characters in this sort of modern day Romeo and Juliet story was also quite unique, reminiscent, of course, of Wagner, that had certain motives that meant certain things or certain characters. And the other thing that's so unique about this piece is Bernstein's brilliant gifts regarding orchestration. He was just able to create just the right sound, the right mood to fit the story perfectly. And all that combined has helped to make it one of the great musical scores ever written. And I love telling the story that Jerome Robbins, who he collaborated on with this show, was really wanted to use an East Side Jewish family and a Catholic family that were sparring and called East Side Story. But there were quite a few of these Chicano gangs in L.A. that were receiving quite a bit of publicity in the 1950s, and their creators felt that it would be a little bit more relevant to have opposing groups from Harlem and the West Side, which would have been right around the neighborhood where Lincoln Center was built. So anyway, it finally was resolved to use a Midtown Puerto Rican gang fighting with a white gang from the Lincoln Center area. So it's a terrific piece performed in Carnegie Hall with the New York Philharmonic, and Lucas Foss premiered on February 13th, 1961. And the title of this program was A Valentine's Day Gift for Leonard Bernstein. The Symphonic Dances includes the prologue, which is sort of these unsteady rhythmic motives that show that we're kind of ready for a fight in a way, that displays this rivalry between the Sharks and the Jets. The Mambo, of course, which is the competition dance between the two gangs. There's a fugue that's a dance sequence where the Jets, I believe, are sort of trying to control their anger and temper. The Rumble, of course, is that magnificent gang battle scene. And then finally, the love music of Somewhere. It really is remarkable how this 25-minute piece seems like a full symphony. And I'm always happy to conduct it. Have saw Bernstein rehearse it and conduct it many times when I was hanging around him and on the East Coast. And always a great pleasure to conduct it.
And a wonderful way to conclude your tribute to Leonard Bernstein this season.
Yeah, we've had a lot of great music by him. Last month, of course, Chichester's Psalms. We've played the Overture to Candide. Jerry Schwartz conducted his Divertimento, written for the Boston Symphony. So I chose music that was really important to him and pieces that I thought that if he was still alive today, he would enjoy hearing again. So I was very pleased with our salute to him.
And you're polishing off the concert with Respighi.
I believe that Respighi was one of the great orchestrators of all time, not just in the 20th century, but throughout the last 400 years of music. He was an Italian composer and a violinist and a violist and a musicologist. He lived from the late 1800s, around 1879, I think, through 1935 or 6. And, of course, he's most famous by what we call his trilogy of music, the Pines of Rome, the Fountains of Rome, and the Festivals of Rome. His father, of course, was a piano teacher. When he was 21, he was gifted and became the principal violist of the Moscow State Orchestra in St. Petersburg, and that was the Russian Imperial Theater Orchestra at the time, which was one of the leading orchestras of the world in the 1920s and 30s, and he was there for a year, but the significant part about that visit was that he not only met Rimsky-Korsakov, the great Russian orchestrator and composer, but also studied with him. And when I say he was a great orchestrator, he also had a great teacher, because, of course, Rimsky-Korsakov was a great orchestrator, too. After his year in Russia, he moved back to Rome, and after he had a short concert career playing some concerts in Paris and Vienna and so on, he finally joined the faculty of St. Cecilia Conservatory in Rome, and he stayed there teaching for the rest of his life. Lots of conductors loved his music, but the one that really championed his music in the early 1900s was Toscanini. And of course, once Toscanini found a piece that he liked and he performed it with his NBC orchestra and it was broadcast over the radio, of course, it became famous overnight. I like to think of Rospighi as kind of a combination of Germanic music, that kind of thick Strauss and Wagner harmonies, along with that beautiful Russian orchestration. That's part of his DNA in music and something that I admire. And it's very colorful and has a universal appeal even, 100 years after it was written.
So the first movement is a villa where children are playing, and the second one is the catacombs. It has some really dramatic titles.
Yeah, it does. It's really very, in some cases, very menacing. Like the third movement is the Pines of the Janiculum, which is, under a full moon. The Janiculum is a neighborhood in Rome on a hill. And there's this incredible piano cadenza and then a peaceful clarinet solo to just set the proper mood with that. You mentioned the catacomb, which is quite mysterious and ominous. There's these pine trees that hang over the entrance of this catacomb, and then eventually from the depths of the tombs you hear this beautiful chant that's played by an offstage trumpet. But I guess the most popular movement of all is the Pines of the Appian Way, which starts sort of in a misty early morning dawn, and then the path is guarded by these solitary pines on each side of it, and you hear the kind of this relentless rhythm of soldiers marching to protect Rome, and it ends in a most glorious fashion. It's one of the great climaxes of all time in music history, including additional brass players that are placed in the audience or off stage, and for added volume, an organ, every percussion instrument you can think of. So it's a great, great finale to a great season that we've had.
So how can folks get tickets?
Tickets are available through our website, which is dmsymphony.org, and always about 30 minutes before each performance at the Civic Center of Greater Des Moines, this Saturday, May 18th at 7:30, and Sunday, May 19th at 2:30 in the afternoon.
Thanks for today's Des Moines Symphony Bernstein West Side Story Chat goes to IPR's John Pemble, Phil Moss, and Alexis Hahn. And a big thank you to the Des Moines Symphony's music director and conductor, Maestro Junta. And thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. Thank you, Jacqueline.